Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show being brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. Go online to REWfinancial.com. Is the open now written, by the way, for tomorrow night's Milton Shikalimi showdown?
No, I'm still doing the math. I'm telling you what, this District 4 is really tough to figure out this year. I think single A is really the only thing that's locked. I mean, the three teams that are in it are probably good to go. Muncie Bloom may rotate in. That may be your only possibility there. Four teams are a lock in AAA. It's Milton, Shikellamy, Selins Grove, and Jersey Shore. And depending on what happens in week 10, I mean, you could see that thing all mixed up. Jersey Shore may possibly have a chance for a home game. Shikellamy could be the number one seed. Selins Grove could still mathematically be a number one seed and have a home game. And District 4, for AA, that's just a nightmare. It's been taking up all my time.
Oh, boy.
You can wake up now. It's just been crazy. District, in a good way. I mean, teams that are looking at an 8 seed now are really excited because, you know, they could actually bounce up and be a 5 seed yet.
Okay. Our number 800-795-9565 here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, a.k.a. the Chateau. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sean Carey stopped me this afternoon. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm working on the numbers, and we're going through all these possible scenarios and the bonus points available." And he goes, "This is beyond capology now." He said, "This is like trying to figure out the final four brackets." I said, "It's not far from that."
All right.
You and Steve may have to get Joey on the show again just for District 4 for his expertise in the math part of it.
Joey Brackets.
That's what he said. He's
love like, Joey Brackets. He's the best.
Get Joey Brackets back on the show.
Lenardi is the best. He is the best. He actually makes sense of it as opposed to this segment. All right. So.
Listen, you have to understand it to make sense of it, Steve.
I feel like a hostage. Oh, man. The hostage without any chance of getting the Stockholm Syndrome. All right.
I really hope you don't.
I hope I don't either. We bring in Steve Samsel. Some would say media critic, Steve. I say media perspective. How does that work for you? Is all right?
Hey, everything's fair. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Those are nice words. I take the nice words all the time.
No. Anybody would. Let's get to the postseason. I saw juice in the stands, and maybe it's just Mike better, from the Texas-Tampa Bay thing on to last night everywhere, which I thought brought an ambiance to the broadcast. What were your thoughts on watching how TBS and then how Fox handled this whole thing?
I think anytime you're getting more of a sense of what's going on, it's a good thing. Yeah, I think people appreciate that. I know there's, you know, you're there for a reason or you're not there for a reason, but anytime you can get a sense, better sense, better feel, better sound, I think that helps the broadcast work, and they're certainly committed to doing that.
In fact, I didn't realize that we were doing this, But Roger Corey told me that one of the reasons that on the Penn State football broadcast you hear even more crowd now, he keeps Lauren Crispell's mic up on the field, which and you can hear it.
Yeah, and I think that helps. I mean, it's probably something that's in the past 5 years or so or more, you know, TV's trying to find a way to make its presentations feel like the game, and at the same time the folks in the games are trying to find a way to make the downtime, whether they use whatever's happened on the scoreboard or increasing Wi-Fi in the stadium, trying to attract people to come out of their homes. So it's kind of a push and then pull thing that they're kind of copying each other to try to share those experiences or give the best of what both experiences at whatever place you're at. So I think that adds to it. And I think another thing that's really influenced, maybe not so much, certainly not the sound, but the way you see games on TV is video games. I think camera angles change. You know, instead of the high 50-yard line camera or the center court camera in basketball, you see more, you know, rotating arm cameras or high end zone shots, kind of things that maybe started on video games that, as a viewer, we might not have been used to seeing as much in previous years, but are becoming a little more predominant.
Yeah, well, of course, we remember Memorial Day weekend and Stop the Race.
Right.
Is there a line at all in your mind? And there may be no line. And if there is a line, are they getting close to it right now in terms of what they can and can't bring you?
I think they're going to keep trying to find new and better, whether it's a little lipstick cam looking back at home plate in the World Series, an arm cam along the pit lane at a race, whatever else they can find. I think from ESPN's perspective and the folks that provide them that technology, and it's not just exclusive to them, but they've done the X Games through the years, I think those athletes and those people that competed, those competitors, maybe the word isn't athletes, have given them the ability to strap cameras on to just about anything and provide a look. And then they start going out and say, well, what if we did this with a referee's hat? What if we did this with a batter's helmet? And you've seen those kind of experiments in preseason games, and it wouldn't shock me, you know, as we get closer to regular season games or maybe even the playoffs eventually, that those kind of things become a part of what's happening on the field as well in a quicker time. NFL Films obviously has a lot of those things you see later in the week or a week later on certain special shows, but I wouldn't be surprised if they showed up more often on live broadcasts as well.
Give me a perspective on what Tim McCarver's meant over the years.
Tim McCarver has been a great ambassador for baseball, and it's funny how the story arc, you know, anybody that's been around a long time, you kind of get built up because you're new and you get a chance and people like you, and then you've been doing it for 20-some years, and people say, oh, well, you know, he's sounding old and sounding dated. And I think any criticism of him as things have wound down has been unfair because he's been great. He's been great for the sport. He, you know, he's one of those guys, when you turn on a game, you usually learn something new. It felt comfortable listening to him. And I don't know that it's a loss. I mean, I think it's a loss for baseball. I don't know if it's a tangible loss because I don't know that people really tune in for announcers per se. And maybe they tune out, but I don't think they tune in. And I think but it is going to be a loss in terms of the information that's there. And people will miss him when he's gone more than maybe they thought they would while we still have him.
I completely agree. I think the best analysts, and I think you know how strongly I feel about Jack Ham, Dick Girardi, Tim McCarver, very much the same way. Exactly what you said. When the game's over, you feel like you've learned more about the game.
Yeah, he was just, whether it was a nuance, whether it didn't feel like he was telling you old battle stories, not that he didn't have them. He talked baseball. It felt like he always felt like he did his work, because I'm sure he did do his work. I think he was great. I mean, he is great at what he does, and it's going to be a loss for him on those national broadcasts. And it probably doesn't seem as special in some ways. You know, as people who are older might have grown up with a game of the week with Tony Kubek or Joe Garagiola, and knowing them as the voice of the sport or the face of the sport. Maybe McCarver didn't hold that level, but he certainly has done almost, I think, all but five, you know, World Series games the past couple decades. So he's certainly been there and done that and done it well for the sport.
Farrell family, by the way, has a little familiarity with State College because John Farrell's son Jeremy played for the Spikes back in 2008. How about in the middle of everything he's doing last night that he stopped and paid tribute to Tim McCarver in the middle of a clinching game?
Yeah, and I think that goes to show you the respect that exists there, and the people that know what's going on know what they have in Tim McCarver.
Yeah. How much has SiriusXM given you a perspective on now how you look at broadcasting in total because of the variety you can get from across the country and whatever region?
I think what you learn when you're hearing folks from different regions, if you didn't already know it, is how good we have it. I mean, whether it's Central Pennsylvania, whether it's Pennsylvania in general. I mean, Pittsburgh fans, Philly fans have had announcers that they know and love and are characters and are part of the sport, no matter what the sport, but you still get the game action and it still comes across well. I think Penn State fans, you know, I've always said about you, either you don't miss the play-by-play stuff at all. There's not anything missing in terms of the nuts and bolts stuff. And I think as the more you listen to people across the country, you realize what a skill that is and how hard that is to do. And it's fun. You hear the regional differences. You know, if you get an SEC football game, almost no matter the team, there's a different passion, a different energy, and certainly someone in the press box who's calling the game, who's got a clear rooting interest, who there's no hiding it, and that's okay because they're employed by the team or the university. And conversely, maybe somebody from the Midwest or something else, it's good to hear. It's good to hear even in controversial moments. I was actually listening to SiriusXM Penn State Nebraska last year, and we were driving along, and you heard the announcers when they went through the replay for the touchdown, what should have been a touchdown, say, well, you know, it probably didn't make it, and then their voice kind of tailed off. Well, we just looked at the replay. That might get overturned. You know, so it's kind of those kind of things that you think from your side as a fan or someone who's listening or is watching that you see, and it's good to hear other folks are seeing it the same way, even though they might be working for the other team.
Right. You mentioned how the fans in Pennsylvania, that they have it good. Chris Wheeler is being honored this weekend by the College of Communications, a Penn Stater. What has he meant to the brand of Penn State in broadcasting, especially now with the Curley Center for Sports Journalism?
He's been one of those guys who's never going to say no, always going to come back, always going to talk to students, someone that everybody knows. The students from Philly know him. Their ears perk up when they talk about Chris Wheeler is going to be here and be in the classroom on Monday after the award ceremony on Sunday night. So he helps give our students something to aspire to. He's also a great mentor in terms of, you know, talking with students who are maybe from the Philly area or going to make a visit or just want to ask a little bit about broadcasting. You know, and you can't open the door or connect everybody with a job that comes to say hello. We talk about the business. How did I get here? And I think as a student, you hear those stories over and over from a couple different people about how they got where they were, or several different people about how they got where they were. You take from them all the things that sound the same in terms of their stories, which ended up being hard work, be prepared, you know, stay at it, keep asking, and it hopefully helps them, helps the students then prepare and be ready to go out in the field. And I think that's the big thing for Chris and people like that who are willing to be those kind of ambassadors and mentors.
And I've talked to Chris about this before, and I've told him, I said, look, one of the things I like about what he does is that, look, you know which team he wants to win and so forth, but he really gives and talks about other ball players on other teams and gives you a perspective on the good things that they do and so forth and why a team should be wary of them.
Yeah, I think that comes back to being prepared and being honest. I mean, fans are going to know. Fans know if they're listening to the Phillies broadcast on radio, there's a good chance they're a Phillies fan, and they'd like the final outcome to be somewhat the same as Chris does, or exactly the same. But they also respect the fact that they can say, you know, this guy's having a good game, this guy's having a good season, and here's why, or here's what he does well. And I think, you know, it goes to your credibility then as a broadcaster when you're pointing out those kind of things, and fans nod their head and say, okay, yep, I agree, you know, appreciate it if our guys can get a hit right now, but I understand why the breaking ball is working for him, and I understand what Chris is telling me.
The Pirates broadcasters have not obviously had a lot to talk about. I mean, some the last couple of years leading in, but this year every day they had something to talk about, and they had something to handle every day. How well did that network end up doing when they finally had something on the table that was some meat and potatoes, and it wasn't a 57-win year where you're just grasping?
I think the team played to the broadcaster's level in a lot of ways. I think they were almost waiting for the team to get there and be able to do those kind of things and be able to call games that matter and reflect that drama. I think they did a great job. I mean, I think they were prepared every day. And I think even, you know, you luck into some stuff and things just happen. I mean, I was down there the day that Bob Walk was getting ready to cover Garrett Cole's first game, and he talked about going into a Home Depot or a Lowe's, and I asked him about his preparation for doing this first game. He said, well, you know, I've been talking about it since 8 o'clock this morning when I went into Lowe's, so I'm trying to buy a faucet, and the guy's asking me about him, you know, as I'm buying my faucet, you know. So they're working on what they're doing all the time, and sometimes, you know, it's just talking baseball, and they have a good time with it and had fun with it, and I think that the fans appreciate that as well.
And and one of the things I noticed this year, in all due respect, fewer stories about the past, everything about the present. And I thought that just that to me showed, you know, how far they've come with this whole thing.
Yeah, because they've got something good to talk about. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm sure it was killing Greg Brown through the years.
Sure.
Of not having something to positive to say or current to do, and you're falling back on the story to fill some time in a tough game. And Greg has such great energy and enthusiasm that sometimes, you know, it seemed that he, most of all, really needed something good and positive to do, and he's become the voice in many ways with Raise the Jolly Roger and all those things for the team. But I think the team played to the broadcaster's level this year in many ways.
How about you as a fan? How much did you enjoy it?
Oh, it was great. It was fun. I mean, I really had not watched. I'm not sure it was till a couple years ago that I had watched a full baseball game since 92. I went and, you know, worked Spice games and did stuff and appreciated. But, you know, you felt your heart turn out, pour out that night. And then all those years ago, and then there was the strike. And it was hard to get back into baseball. And this, I had started the past couple of years really getting back into it. And this year was just so much fun. You know, the ride's fun. And I think it's fun for all the fans to have something to know. You're going to have a little bit of fun, have something to positive to cheer about when you go to the ballpark, or you turn on the radio or you turn on the TV.
I think the next 3 to 5 years, you know, because it depends on free agent cycles and so forth. But the next 3 to 5 years, you ought to have a lot of fun. I think they're going to be pretty good.
I hope so. I mean, I hope so, and I think a lot of people in the area hope so, and that's what makes it fun. You know, you want to have some enjoyment out of the energy and time and money that you sink into the effort.
Steve, it's always a pleasure. Appreciate it. I know it's a big weekend for Chris Wheeler. Looking forward to it. I know he's going to come over and spend a couple minutes with Jack and me this weekend off the air, but he still wanted to come over and spend some time with us, and I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Yeah, it'll be a great time, great weekend for him, and I'm glad he can get some time with you. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he sure is. And by the way, the dinner's going to be Sunday evening, and I'm sure I'll see you there at that.
Yes, sir.
Steve, thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve.
Steve Samsel, Media Perspective. Great to have him on board, as always. Our number, 800-795-9565. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. Go online to rewfinancial.com. Tomorrow, Cale Sanderson joins us on the show. Ron Cook tomorrow as well from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report as well. While we were doing that, Kevin was still explaining to Sean Carey the playoff picture in high school football. We'll continue with that off the air, which at the moment is where we prefer it, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
For a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2011 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo with remaining factory warranty just $25,960. 2009 Ford Taurus SEL all-wheel drive to plow through snow, $14,832. 2013 Ford F-150 4x4, just $29,399 after all discounts. 2014 Ford Fiesta SE, just $17,120. And a well maintained, fully serviced, and inspected 2011 Ford Escape XLT, just $16,476. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
REW Financial believes in the value of total commitment. We are a working family who strives to prove strength of character by staying independent and core focused. REW has a commitment to the community and the financial needs of our clients. Let us design your portfolio or retirement strategy. REW Financial Lewisburg, the power of freedom. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners Financial Services.
Game two of the 2004 World Series. I was there the night Schilling pitched, and they performed pregame.
Oh, I'll tell you what, they are really, really raucous.
Crowd had some juice. Lots of juice. All right. So, there you go.
That is raucous right there.
Well, you know, It's fun and it's regional.
I thought they did a really nice job, though, with the national anthem last night.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, there's so many people doing the national anthem now that feel the need to make it their own. It's the national anthem. Sing it. Finish it. Start the event. You have your 2.5 minutes. Sing the thing. Sing your heart out the way it's supposed to be. Don't try and make it 4.5 minutes. Don't try and make it 1.5 minutes so you rush through it. It is what it is. Sing the song. Move on. You remember the Super Bowl had an over-under, and if you took the over, you won. I think it was 3.5 minutes. It was over by 4 seconds.
Oh, yeah?
I don't.
I know you don't know anything about those side of things. I understand. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here.
All I know is it plays, and we're in a commercial break, and I stand there with my hand over my heart, and then we move on from there.
I look at the flag. I have my right hand over my heart, and I'm good to go.
I'm good. It's all good.
No, there's you get all these big events, and then people see the big TV cameras and see the national audience and think, I can make a name for myself. Just sing the stinking song.
Kind of a bitter guy, aren't you?
No, it's just I've been to too many. I've seen too many of these big events get drug out for no particular reason on the national anthem. And you know what I hate? I hate when they change the national anthem. When they change the arrangement. The word I was looking
for. Oh, say, can you see? We love Syria. What?
No, when they change the arrangement.
Those words, yeah.
And then they have the runs. Then they have those little runs that they have to go on. Listen, this is not American Idol. Sing the stinking song. You're not going to get voted out anyway or voted in. Dropkick Murphy, 2 thumbs up for the Murphs.
Am I weird? I only watch the game.
It's the event, Steven. How many times do I have to tell you? It's more than just the game.
They gave him a trophy at the end.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. We roll through this afternoon together, brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. Or you can go online to rewfinancial.com. In these times, you need to be able to go to someone that has the sense and the trust. Rick has both. And we say good afternoon to Lee as well. And I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio, a.k.a. the Chateau. On a kind of a wet Thursday, there'll be a little wind overnight. Halloween trick or treat time, handing out floss at the Her household.
Floss? No, I have Kit Kats and Reese's cups.
Really?
That's right. Then if we don't finish off all of them, I have something to snack on now.
Well, buying 500 bags, they think ensured that would happen.
Well, you know, you always got to plan ahead.
Hey, you must really think there's going to be an outpouring tonight.
It's a popular place in my house.
I bet it is.
Hey, you know what today is?
Halloween.
It's Steve Jones Thursday.
That's right. I will not be participating in Halloween tonight. So,
you're not one of those people that sit with the TV off and the lights off. And
no, I got a show tonight. I'm not even back until 7:30.
Oh, well, it goes on till what, 9 o'clock?
No, 8.
Really, 8 o'clock?
Yeah, here's 8. Wow. Always, everywhere, even when I was growing up, it was 8 o'clock.
I remembered 9.
That's because you stayed out later.
Well, you got to understand, where I grew up, there wasn't any set hours. You went to people's houses that you knew because you had to drive everywhere you went anyway. Your nearest neighbor was 4 miles away.
So you enjoyed both?
It was a long night. I mean, sometimes you travel 15 minutes to go see somebody to trick or treat.
Well, son of a gun.
It was a little bit in the woods.
Okay. I always laugh at this time of the year when people overthink Halloween.
How can you overthink Halloween?
Oh, come on. When you start hearing people talk about, oh, demonic or whatever, it's Halloween, it's for kids to go out and get candy. Come on. Jeez.
Although I have to admit, though,
have some fun.
If I was a parent of a kid today that's in trick or treat outfits at 5, 6, and 7, there's some outfits that are kind of questionable right now.
Well, I don't want them going out at Miley Cyrus.
No, that's not even an outfit. You just don't wear anything anymore, Miley Cyrus.
I understand that. I mean, so, although I'll say this, the costume's cheap. There's barely any material.
That's right.
I mean, really. But, look, it's fun. I mean, some people, now, I do not, and never have, nor will I ever put up, like, orange lights or anything like that. But I see people do that. They're just having fun with the season.
It's funny. I have one Halloween decoration, and I have Halloween lights. The problem is I forget I have them until I go to put up the Christmas lights. I'm like, darn it, there they are. Every year I keep forgetting where they're at until Christmas. And it kind of defeats the purpose at Christmas time, you know?
Look, it's just fun. You know what? It's okay to have fun. It's okay to have fun. You know? Remember last year, I mean, it's a far more serious topic, but I mean, the last couple of years, people, you know, talk about the culture at Penn State and so forth. It's all right to go to a football game and have fun. It's all right to go to a football game, put your hair down, let loose, and have a blast. It's all right. Okay? Okay, and that's it. It's after a while, you're like, come on. You know, like, well, people take a little bit too far. And I understand. There are people that certainly abuse the privilege or whatever. You look at it, Halloween, it's fun. It's fun. You go out there. I mean, when I was a kid, it was how many streets could we get to? And then we had a lot of streets in a close by in the neighborhood. So there was one street, Sharp Street, that had 4 houses on it. Counted. It counted. So.
I think tomorrow, though, being November 1st, then it's time to get out the Christmas bump music then for football.
Christmas bump music for football. Okay, explain that one. I'm not completely on board with that. Explain that one.
Well, you know, I have put together some special bump music basketball season. Usually it's the game or the basketball game or the wrestling match right before Christmas. We'll play all Christmas bumps coming in and out of commercial breaks. I may have to bring it out November 1st.
Oh, okay.
Because all the stores are playing it now, so, you know, I want to be in fashion.
Of course you do. I don't blame you. I mean, every store right now is already loaded up for Christmas anyway. Where you go in, it's like...
I worked at retail right out of high school. And you know what we actually did? Fair Week, which is always basically the last full week of September. The first part of the week, it was inventory. The second part of the week... it was get up the Christmas decorations and Christmas trees to sell because nobody was in the store that week. It was Fair Week. Everybody was at the Bloomsburg Fair.
All right. Okay.
So Christmas to me in retail started at the end of September.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's interesting. So it's a great time, fun time of the year. It's not like August where there are no holidays. So he set me up.
Yeah, listen, I was a lot happier with my football team in August, all right? Period.
You got to play life out. Okay? You got to have, you know, I've got a game. Look, did the game I do last Saturday in Columbus light me up? No. I mean, was I excited to be there in the pregame and the so forth? I mean, I know you find it hard to believe.
I would hope you would.
Right? Did it turn out? No. Okay. Am I now excited about the next one? Yeah. It's a new week, new time. Get to go back up in the broadcast booth, work with Jack, work with Lauren, work with Roger, Jeff, you know, and have fun with it. So
know, I don't need August to sit there and anticipate. I mean, I'm in a week-to-week, and to call it a grind is wrong. That's not right. A week-to-week, you know, deal of pure enjoyment. Has it gone the way I hoped it would go this year? No. Does it mean I'm enjoying it less? Come on.
Of all, even growing up, not just what you call, but growing up, what was your favorite sport? Not maybe in, to play, to watch, to call, whatever. What was your favorite sport?
Well, right now it's whatever's in front of me. I'm having such enjoyment.
Oh, come on.
I take each one for what it is.
What a cop-out answer. That was the easy answer. You mean to tell me when you were growing up there wasn't one sport or one season you look forward to over the others?
No. I enjoy everything. Summer meant the Red Sox. Fall meant watching the NFL. Winter meant watching Bobby Orr and the Bruins and the Celtics. And
see, for me, baseball was fine. Baseball was entertaining, but football. I lived for football season.
Well, fine. Then, you know, but now your favorite month's August, where there is no football.
But that's why I liked August, because I lived for football and I knew football was getting underway. I knew that was the most entertaining part for me because my team wasn't awful yet. And being a Steeler fan in the 80s was not easy. Usually by August, your baseball team was done. Your football team was actually optimistically good. And then somewhere around mid-October, you'd start looking toward baseball season again.
Wow. I mean, you asked me how many times on the show when I stopped being a fan. I tell you what, how much I enjoy this, 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 and this. And it's like, oh, well, turned out that you're the grumpy guy.
No, I'm just the passionate fan.
Just the passionate fan? You're a hater.
No, I am. I am the passionate fan. I admit that. Frighteningly at some points. But I am the one that will, my wife constantly reminds me, they cannot hear you. You can sit there and yell at the TV all you want. They can't hear you. For instance, I was going, Ben, roll out of the pocket. Roll out of the pocket. Don't take. Forget it. He's done. And then it was a sack. She's like, you know he can't hear you. He's all the way out in Oakland.
No wonder when I saw you guys like earlier in the year, she hugged me and wouldn't let go.
No. She's learned to accept it. She's actually starting to watch sports now.
No,
mainly because she doesn't have a choice in the house. We have the one TV that you can really watch, and that's usually what's on.
She looked at me and said, "Don't leave." I go, "Oh, what do you mean? I got to get running here." I mean. You're
so crazy. You never watched a sport with passion.
What are you talking about?
You never got passionate. You never gave your heart and soul to a team.
Growing up?
Yeah, at all. I mean, now. I mean, now forget it. You know, you're lukewarm, which is fine because you're a broadcaster. That's what you do. I mean, that's your objective a lot of times. So you have to act that way. But I mean, when you were growing up, when you were not doing what you're doing for a living right now, and you were just a fan, you always pick on me for being passionate. You were never passionate about any of your teams?
Sure, I was growing up.
See, I think we all are to a point. I think we're all passionate about it. I think we saw that in the last week or so with Penn State fans. Penn State fans are very passionate.
And I said immediately on Monday how much I respected them.
Absolutely you did. Absolutely you did.
You know, I'm not gonna tell them how to feel. I mean, I know how I feel about things, and it may be different than how they feel, but I admire their passion.
I just don't think there's enough of that anymore. We don't get involved enough.
I mean, I don't go along with all the narratives. I mean, do I think last night, for example, as a lifelong Red Sox fan, that I thought it was neat they clinched at Fenway Park? Absolutely. Would I have cared if they clinched in St. Louis? No.
Now, see, that's where I would do. That's where.
No,
I disagree slightly.
That's too storybookish stuff. Okay,
but I like the storybook.
You can't start. You can't start putting conditions on what's good and what isn't. Okay, if winning a championship isn't good enough.
It's not about good enough. It's what could make something really good even better. You know, winning as a Phillies fan, seeing them win in 08 in Philadelphia with that stadium, all the towels, the people going crazy
they
because it
won,
had been so long.
Okay. They hadn't won since 1980.
Right.
Okay. All right. Would it have mattered if they won in St. Petersburg?
No, yeah, but you're not asking the right question. It's not a point of whether it would matter or not.
Sure is.
No. But would I have liked it less? No, I wouldn't have liked it less. But it was a little more special that they did it in Philadelphia. So I understand the point of making all the discussion about not winning in Boston since in 90 years.
Look,
I get that.
It's a storyline, okay?
Yeah, but you don't like the fairy tale story. You don't like the storybook style in sports. I do. I love the story in sports.
You know what that's called? Being a casual fan.
That's why I like the whole event. Because it's all part of the story of the event, of the game. It's all part of the whole picture. Because when I tell the story of when I was watching the game in 2008, it's not going to be, oh, it was great. They won the game in the World Series. When I tell my grandchildren about the World Series, because probably the Phillies won't get into another one until they're my age. When I tell them about 08, I'm going to tell them about the atmosphere, the fact that the game lasted literally a day and a half. I'm going to tell them that it was brutally cold half the series in Philadelphia. Because it's the whole story. That's the part I think we often miss. We so worry about the one and two people involved in the sport. We miss the whole picture. We miss the whole story.
When you have watched a franchise, okay?
Right.
Lose a World Series on its home field in 67. Hit a miracle home run in game 6 in 75, but then lose in the ninth inning in 75. Okay. To then have Bucky Dent homer in there in 78, same place. To then lose in 86 after you hit a miracle home run on the road at Anaheim. All right. Do you really care where you win it? I don't. Didn't bother me they won in Denver. Didn't bother me they won in St. Louis.
I can't make you understand it. It's just the whole picture. It's the whole thing. Yes, it's great that they won. It's even better that they won it in front of their own fans.
And they can
enjoy it instead of having the celebration in the locker room on TV cameras. The celebration was out on the field with everybody that felt like they were part of the team. That's what made it really cool last night.
Look, I understand that, okay? The difference between me and you, I've been there over 100 times, okay? I deliberately went last year because it was the 100th year of Fenway Park. I deliberately went, okay? Deliberately went. All right? Because it was Fenway Park's 100th year. Okay? You have a picture here in the Sunbury Motor Studio of the left field wall at Fenway Park with the 100 logo on it. Okay? The times I went with my father, the times I went with my grandfather, the times I went with my sons. Right? All of that. Okay? So, yeah, winning there is great, awesome, and incredible. But when you start putting on, well, this is much more special because they won it there, there's no difference. They won it. They won it. When you start putting conditions on where it ranks, it's ridiculous.
Well, I'll tell you what. I had a friend that spent an enormous amount of money to make the trip out to Detroit for the Super Bowl. And I thought he was completely crazy. And then after the Steelers won the Super Bowl and I watched the party that went on the field and the fans that stayed in there, I went, okay, I almost understand why he spent that kind of money to go. I get that.
Yep, yeah, that's fine. But guess what? The game wasn't in Pittsburgh. It was in Detroit.
I understand that.
Did it bother you that it was in Detroit? Would have been special where? Where would have been special?
Well, yeah, but that's not the same thing. That's not where, apples to apples. Rarely do you see the Super Bowl team, one of the teams in the Super Bowl, have it at their own stadium.
Never. It's never happened once ever.
I didn't think so, but I didn't want to say never because I wasn't sure.
49ers were close at Stanford when they won Super Bowl 19. Rams lost in the Rose Bowl, but that's L.A. Okay, but that's it. It's never happened before. But, okay, is it great that they finally won in the ballpark? Yes. Does it make it more special than the other two in the last 10 years? No. Mm. Because you won it. Okay? Location means nothing. I don't care if it's the tarmac over at the airport.
I'm sorry. I respectfully disagree. But then again, maybe that's just the story part. Maybe that is the story part of me. Maybe that's why I love spending time on the open.
Okay. Okay. Let me put you this way. All right. Okay. Let me put it to you this way.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Penn State won the Big Ten championship in 2005 at Michigan State.
Right. I was there, actually.
I understand. In 2008, they won it in Beaver Stadium.
Right.
Okay. Which one was more special to me?
I know which one was more special to me, the one in Beaver Stadium, because we were the only one, we were about, among a handful celebrating at Michigan State.
All right, that part I understand, everybody's, but you know what, you're talking about 38,000, 39,000 people versus the millions that watched.
Right.
Okay, if the game was in St. Louis, the millions would have watched, plus the 39,000 people.
I don't know. Maybe it's just the romance of sports that's got me.
Okay, the atmospherics of winning at home send excitement through the screen. It's always flat when you watch the end of any championship and you hear the players individually. Hey, because the crowd's like, okay.
Yeah, if this were in St. Louis, it'd be like, great, I'm glad you won.
Already seen that before, okay? So that part I do get. But in terms of, like, overall, you know, they won in Fenway. That's great they won in Fenway. Okay? That's great. But does it make it better than 2004 and 2007 if you're a Red Sox fan? When you walk in there next year, there's going to be a red banner up in there next to 4 and 7 that's in red and not in blue. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Blue means you went to the World Series. Right. Red means you won it.
Red means you won it.
Okay. And it's up on the press box. See the press box.
I saw that last night. They had a shot of that last night.
Yeah. I have a picture of it here in the studio here showing 4 and 7 together. Okay. And they'll put a flag up outside Fenway Park near the ticket office. I mean, I understand that the excitement level for TV and for anybody who's there, it's like off the charts. It sounds great on TV. In the end, sitting here in central Pennsylvania, do I think it's really, really neat they won there? Yes. Part of the fact that I think it's really neat they won there is that you don't have to hear it anymore. How about that?
I agree with that.
Okay, after a while, I got it. You're on 24 hours. You got to come up with a theme. I got it. We're putting too many conditions on winning, all right? And I keep telling everybody over and over again on this show that even though it's a 24-hour cycle all the time that we have to talk, okay, is that we're taking away what it actually means to win. We have to cement our legacy by doing what?
I could be wrong. I like the magic.